Everyone, this is Graham. Graham's lived in Norfolk before. He's not from Norfolk. And it's great to have him with us today. I think Debs's brother goes to Graham's church. Roy knows Graham. Does anyone else know Graham already? Audrey and Graham go way back. So there's a few friends here already, a few links. Graham, for many years, was involved in leading King's Community Church with Gough in Norwich. That's right, isn't it? I didn't forget that. And he's part of Relational Mission and leads a church in Ashford. What's your church called, Graham? Oh, that's why I was going to say Gateway. Gateway in Ashford. And I'm really thrilled that he's with us. Should we just pray for him? You feeling all right? Great, we'll pray for you. Father, thank you for Graham. Help him bless us and minister to us today. Anoint him with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that we'd listen and you'd help us take in what he's saying and actually do something about it and respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's a big day for me today because I support Leicester City. I'm from Leicester. Yeah. Hey, oh, I like it. Yeah, come on, you foxes. We were at Norwich for 13 years. Sir Nice, who's from Maidstone, and we planted a church in Ashford in Kent. And it's great to just come back. And this man is a great songwriter, isn't he? You're so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And looking forward to meeting you as well, Rob's dear wife. I've been in leadership now for goodness knows how long. The trouble with leadership is you know how to do it. Do you know what I mean by that? You get used to doing it. And that's a dangerous thing to do in leadership. Because if there ever was a day in which we're living where we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, these are the days. And today I want to speak to you about developing a greater sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, and I've not arrived. I've only really just feel I'm beginning, and that sounds awful admission to make, but I'm just realizing there's a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit which is doable and essential. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14, Paul, as a good Anglican, finishes his letter by saying this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you forevermore. Now, I was brought up in the Anglican Church. I became a Christian in the Anglican Church. And I used to know that verse off by heart. And even now, people will close it in a prayer meeting. As charismatics now, we hold hands and say it to make it a bit more spiritual. But Paul wasn't just giving a good end to a prayer meeting or a letter. He was imparting something to you and I that is essential. Over the last number of years, we have seen to the churches, God bringing churches into an experience of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about being grace-centered, and rightly so, because Jesus was full of grace and truth, in that order, by the way. Important. As an individual, be always having grace first and truth second. Never truth and grace. It's clunky if it's truth and grace, but grace of truth. So, and more recently, we've been entering into, across the churches, globally, the Spirit's been emphasizing a need to connect with the Father heart of God. I do believe that we are now moving into a totally different, a new phase where now God, three in one, is emphasizing that he wants us to know what it is to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit as much as understanding the grace of Jesus Christ and the Father's heart. It's a fellowship with the Holy Spirit for each one of us ordinary Christians. That each one of us, as we can know the grace of Jesus Christ, and clearly the grace of Jesus is with you, it's beautiful, but also know the Father's heart, that you and I can actually have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I used to think that was obvious, but more recently I realised it's not obvious. It's something to be discovered and pined for and hungered for, because I can never say I have got complete and utter fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because there's so much more of the Holy Spirit as God to know. But I want to say to you, it's an adventure that is truly, truly exciting, and it will brighten up the dullest Monday morning. It will brighten the darkest day to know that you can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. For us recently at Ashford, church has been going 13, 14 years, but it started towards out of a visit to a Kentish wooden windmill with our grandkids. And I was fascinated to inside the gubbins of this windmill. It's all wood. And there's... I said to the lady who was showing us around, what's this little smaller windmill at the back of the main windmill with a little sail? She says, that's the fantail. I said, what does that do? She says, well, that is more sensitive to the wind, and it then catching the wind, that starts whirling around. And inside, it recalibrates the big windmill for the whole big sails to face the wind. And in that moment, I sense the Holy Spirit, Graham, you as a leadership have got to have a greater sensitivity to the Holy Spirit in the church. And in doing that, the whole church will be repositioned to face the Holy Spirit in a greater way. And that might sound very simplistic, but it is profound. The journey we're going through internally is a consequence of that, as we seek to see the church positioned more to catch the breath of the Spirit. We as a leadership are having to make internal adjustments on how we do church in order that we can be positioned for more of the Spirit. So we've been making these internal adjustments, reframing, reprioritizing, re-engaging at a deeper, more intimate level with the Holy Spirit, learning more about him, what he likes, what he doesn't like, how he works, walking in harmony with him daily, not just in the churchy bit, but daily. How I relate with my wife, how I relate to my neighbours, how I relate with myself. He's there to be a helper and to be a counsellor. So let me say from the outset, the Bible speaks clearly of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but emphasises there's only one God. That is good doctrine. You all agree with that, don't you? Good. But we're discovering, as we get to know the Holy Spirit more, there's a gentleness about him, there's a kindness, there's a generosity about him. And it's not being insignificant, a double negative, that so many churches at this moment now are starting to have preaching series on the gifts of the Spirit, and again, baptism in the Spirit. It's almost as if God's taken us back to remind us of that, that we are meant to have fellowship with him as a family of God, as individuals who are called by the name of Jesus. So we're now about to preach through Acts of the Apostles, having preached through baptism in the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, because we want to stay in this golden stream, as it were, of understanding more about him, because there's so much more to know, and we need to know about God the Holy Spirit. Well, where's Jesus in all of this? Well, Jesus has ascended, and Jesus wants you and I to have the Holy Spirit fellowship. That's why he said, if I do not go, he will not come. So Jesus isn't getting jealous if you talk about the Holy Spirit. He's not insecure. The Father's not insecure. The Trinity is not divided or suspicious of one another, the Father and the Son rejoice, because I'm talking about God the Holy Spirit right now. It's okay to talk about the Holy Spirit. You are not offending Jesus. Okay, he's totally secure in that. So much so he said, I want you to have him. He will be your helper and your counselor. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm beginning to understand that at long last. Jesus wants me to walk in the Holy Spirit and to know more about him. That's why Jesus has given the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, the Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus. We know that. And that's almost a given. But to think that Jesus ascended so he could come, that's wonderful. So that you can know the fellowship of God in the form of the Holy Spirit daily. Whatever your occupation, whether you're tired or whatever, you can know God's presence in your life. The New Testament church was incredibly reliant and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And that's distinctive to the God's ancient people in the Old Testament. They're always, if you look at Acts of the Apostles, the writer Luke was often saying they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, in his writings, he said, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve him. You know, it's not enough just to have a mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is a part of it, but God has promised that he will be with us through the Spirit's presence when we go. We have to understand that. It's more than just a command to go. We have the companionship of the Holy Spirit, whether we're going as a church or as individuals. The reason why I say this, in Acts chapter 16, you see the Apostle Paul and his companions had got the mandate from Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel, yeah? So they go. They come to the borders of Asia. This is a confusing bit because Luke records, I'll read it for you in Acts 16, and they went through the region of Phrygia, that was very cold, and Galatia, being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Hold on. They were told general gospel call to go into Asia, but then they get there and the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going there. It's quite important, therefore, that we know what the Holy Spirit's saying when we're on mission, is it not? Because we can get caught up with the general call, because Jesus has said so, but in this specific instance, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God, stops them from going. And in the night, a vision was given to Paul, and a man from Macedonia said, come over and help us. And Paul, with a team, said, this seemed right to us, and the actual translation, this seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. Here again, there's this fellowship with the Holy Spirit, this communication. Well, what's the Holy Spirit saying to us? This is the adventure that you and I can go upon. Then we see in Acts 13, when they were worshipping at the church in Antioch, Barnabas, Simeon was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and others. And he says, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. Now, I don't know how the Holy Spirit said. He might have said audibly. It might have been most probably through the prophetic, but it's still the Holy Spirit said. Set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work which I have called them. The Holy Spirit has called them. Then after fasting and prayer, they laid their hands on them and told them to go. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, church. In Joshua chapter 9, I'm going through Joshua at the moment, and there's a moment where they've got into the promised land, and these Gibeonites come to him, and it's a bit of trickery because they were scared of the Israelites moving in and taking over Canaan, and they knew they were going to destroy the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites dressed up in their old clothes and worn out wine water bottles. And they said, oh, we're from a far country. Please bless us. We want to be your friends. Have a pact with us. And so they did. Then they realized that they gave an oath to the Gibeonites. And they shouldn't have done. And it says in verse 9, because they failed to inquire of the Lord. They took things for granted. And we can't take things for granted because we're spiritual people. We're born again of the Spirit. In these days, brothers and sisters, we need to know what it is to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. More than just using the gifts. That's a part of it, but it's more than the gifts. It's absolutely essential that you and I learn to walk with him. It's a lifelong adventure. I feel I'm a late learner. Actually, it said in my report, he's a late learner at school. He's a late learner. C plus. It was true. I'm finding that God waiting for me in the bathroom in the middle of the night. As you get older, you go to the toilet more. And I go to the toilet in the middle of the night, and as clear as bell, this thought came to my mind, start a summer church. What's a summer church? Phrase. So I've come back, talked to my fellow older. We said, it sounds like a cafe-style church. So we've got a centre in the middle of one of the precincts in Ashford. And we thought, okay, well, let's do cafe-style church, but call it summer church, because that's what we believe God said. And we said, we must have a part of that, this magazine-style programme, where we have a bit where God speaks. So we have the prophetic people out. And so these strangers walking off the street, they sit down, singing some songs, do some video presentations. Then a couple of people sit at the front. Now we're going to hear what God says for you. And one of the prophetic people said, Tenerife, I've got a word, Tenerife. That'd be a good word for me. I'd love that word if God said that over my life. And this woman starts crying. And we found out that this lady, a member of the family, had been very ill in Tenerife recently. And it just undid her. How could God know about that aspect to her life? She gave the life to God. She's been recently baptized. Now, not because I went to the loo in the middle of the night, but the Holy Spirit can speak to us right through to Tenerife if we're open. And I think one of the issues for us is we misunderstand. We don't hear. We don't think it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. When that thought goes through, we have to apprehend it, Watchman Nee says, and realize that God can speak just like that. And we mix it with faith and we assess it. Yeah, this is of God. Whole new doors of opportunity can open for you in this area. Stephen, when he was being stoned by the Jews in Acts chapter 7, he finishes his preach off. He says, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. What a great way to finish a preach. He says, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did. That's why we're a new covenant people, and the one thing we must not do is resist the Holy Spirit. Because the destiny of the church and the kingdom is essential to you and I not resisting the Holy Spirit, because he is God. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4:30, he says to the church at Ephesus, now do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I cannot grieve a bicycle pump. I've smashed a bicycle pump on the floor when it won't work, but I can't grieve it because it's an inanimate object. But I can grieve the Holy Spirit because he's a person. Yeah. And Paul's saying, don't grieve the person of the Holy Spirit. Stay in fellowship with him. You see, the Greek word for grieved is literally means getting your feelings hurt. Well, is the Holy Spirit touchy feely? Does he get easily offended? No, not like that. But don't grieve him, because your fellowship with him is precious and essential. But learn, Paul puts it another way, learn to find the things that are pleasing to God. And there's some things that we think, do and say are not pleasing to the Holy Spirit. So we learn how to cut that out, so we learn to stay in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's a lifelong adventure. And it's exciting, because the more we stay in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the more we position ourselves to be used by the Holy Spirit. So as the presence of God, as we remain more in the presence of God, the presence of God flows through us and out into the community where we live And life gets very exciting. When you can say Tenerife to someone and they get saved, that's pretty good, isn't it? No mission or programs, just a word of knowledge, bang, and somebody gets saved. Wonderful. Well, what hurts the Spirit's feelings? Ephesians 4:31-32, Paul goes on straight after that 4:30. He said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Those sort of things will hurt the Spirit's feelings, because that's not of God. So the more we cut that out, the more we'll have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and more we'll be realigned to be useful to him. Does that make sense? So it becomes an adventure. Overcoming those things in your life that you know aren't right, or that those things that, well, I always call a spade, especially from Yorkshire. But if that's grieving the Spirit, cut it out. Be gentle and be kind. But if we're bitter and full of anger and slander and are not bothered, we should be, if we want to develop that greater sensitivity to him. Paul, in another writing, because this is so critical for him in maturing the church, in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says this: "Do not quench the Spirit," or as J.B. Phillips said in his translation, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire." R.T. Kendall goes on to say on this, "The difference between grieving and quenching is our attitude and prejudice towards the way the Spirit may be manifesting himself. Don't be threatened by the Spirit. He may not be safe, but he's always good." And if the Holy Spirit was to have a greater sway in your church, as we want him to have a greater sway in our church, it might not always be safe, but it will always be good. A few weeks ago, we were worshipping at Gateway. I mean, it's not wild at Gateway. It's just a family church like yours. You know, we're just ordinary people. And in the worship, there was sort of a kerfuffle in the kerfuffle. So I've watched Open All Hours too many times. And there was these two people making a lot of noise in the worship time. And I thought, oh, no, Lord, no weirdos today. I don't need weirdos. You know what I mean? I'm just perfectly normal. And they were making a noise. Well, they were falling about and, well, and all over the place. And I looked and I saw there were two GPs. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord, that's all right then. You know, because that's where I'm at in that journey. And God came on these two dear brothers and sisters, husband and wife, GP. The Spirit of God came on them. And they were literally drunk in the Spirit. We didn't plan for it. We did pray for this, but we didn't plan it. It was just a sovereign thing of God. Then when we talked to them afterwards, the man said, wow, we needed that. God really did some stuff deep in our lives that we knew nothing about and didn't need to know about, but Holy Spirit knew. But because we're hungering more for him, God seems to like that. God seems to like it. Now, that's a great way to do pastoral care in the church. Yeah. You see, the Spirit, if we're going to get to know the Spirit more as a church, what you've been doing today is excellent. This generosity, beautiful what you did in giving. Because everything I know so far about the Holy Spirit, he's incredibly generous, isn't he? He gives us life. You can have life. That's the most generous gift you and I have, is the gift of life. You know it's the most generous gift when you see people breathing their last and wanting a gasp of their last breath of life. The gift of life to you is a precious gift of the Holy Spirit. He is so generous. And he wants you and I to be generous too. And the more generous we are, as we're led by the Spirit, the greater fellowship we have, and the more fun it is. Because I think the Holy Spirit wants to have fun with his people. It doesn't have to be serious to be holy. Sue, would you like to come up and share? This is my gorgeous wife, Sue. 40 years we've been married this year. Thank you. I don't know if she's coped with me. But would you like to share the story of what happened to you at Tesco's?
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah, it's this learning that whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are, that God can use you just who you are and where you are, and you don't have to be anything special. Sometimes I feel pretty useless, and I say to the Lord, oh, you know, can you use me today? And one day I was in Tesco's, and I actually got in the right queue for once. There was, you know, only one person in front of me, not a whole host of them. It was moving fairly swiftly, and I wasn't really paying much attention. I was just sort of, you know, looking around, waiting for the lady in front of me to get through. And it suddenly, I felt, it's almost like you get a nudge sometimes from the Holy Spirit. It's just like he taps you on the shoulder, and it was just like, oh, I need to be paying attention. And I realised that the lady in front of me, who just, all her things had just gone through, she was quite distressed. And I'm like, oh, what was going on? And she was rifling through a handbag, and she was saying to the lady at the till, I don't know what's happened to my purse. I can't find it. I don't know if I left it in the car, if it's been nicked, but I'm sure I had it in my handbag. And she was really quite upset, as you would be. And I found myself almost. I just stepped forward and said, oh, don't worry, I'll pay for you. And actually, it was only 30 or 40 pounds. And I was pleased after it wasn't over 100, you know, because I don't know what Graham would have said. She was absolutely gobsmacked. She said, why would you pay for my groceries? So I said, well, I can see that, you know, you're distressed, you're in trouble, you're upset. I'm a Christian, I just want to bless you. Well, the lady at the till, she said, I've worked here 10 years, she said. I've never seen anything like this. And she goes, Jane, next door, guess what? This lady's paying for this lady's groceries. And it was going all the way up, all the tills. And I just thought, you know, thank you, Lord, that it's only a simple little thing just to step in. But it actually, it was going like wildfire all the way down the tills that somebody had paid for somebody else's groceries just because they're a Christian.
You see, thank you. You could have lots of fun. I know you're having fun anyway with Rob and his wife and the gang here. But you could have lots of fun in Attleborough. If you really get it, the Holy Spirit is within you. If you're filled with the Spirit and you have fellowship with him, and he'll start to speak to you. So when you're walking by, it's almost like, we're walking around, listen, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me, not just today, but at this moment? And so all of a sudden your eyes are becoming more and more open to him, and your eyes are connecting with your spirit, and you're connecting with the Holy Spirit, and you say, Lord, I'm yours. You're raising some funds for an evangelist here. Is it a mission, right? Is it £5,000? Is it, you said, in an offering today? Youth work. You see, but every one of you could be released. If you said, okay, Lord, I've got £10 a month to give away. Show me if there's anybody who I can bless with 10 quid. See, what you just did earlier on today in responding to that call, that I think that was a prophetic thing. But you could be the talk of the town again. You've already been the talk of the town once, I believe, but you can be the talk of the town again just by understanding, as you walk into fellowship with the Spirit, hey, Lord, you're generous. And God is no man's debtor. He'll give it back in many ways. That's what Jesus did, wasn't it? Great acts of kindness. But because he said, I can't do anything except the Father is with me. Church, be inspired by this. Be inspired, because you can unlock, with the prodding and prompting of the Holy Spirit, whole new people groups for the kingdom of God. I love it when I see in a church some empty seats. But these will be filled when you break through to this next level of greater intimacy with him. You see, when people come to make Jesus in the New Testament, when they were... See, when Jesus walked into the room, it was a presence of God. He brought in the presence of the Father. It was God there when Jesus came into a party. He got invited out because he must have been a fun guy to be with, mustn't he, really? He got all the invites. But he was there in Simon's house. And this, the town prostitute came. But come on, let's call, that's what she would have been called. She would have been called the prosy. She comes in as a contact with the presence of God. A year's worth of perfume, she poured it over Jesus' feet, and she washed her hair with it. That's a kingdom coming, isn't it? Now, Attleborough is too posh for prostitutes, I'm sure. You've not got a Waitrose here, so if you want, you shop at, where is it? You go to Wyndham if you go to Waitrose. But you have got a Sainsbury's here, I understand. Thank you. Do my research. But there's a lot of people out there who are broken because sex is their only means of comfort. They become so disconnected, unhappy marriages, unhappy relationships. This prostitute, let me ask you a question. How do you think she got the money to buy a year's worth of perfume? Rhetorical question. But she pours it out on Jesus' feet. A lot of Christians would have problems with Jesus accepting that. They would have said, Jesus, didn't you know who this woman is? That's what the first disciple said. Didn't you know who she is? Or the people around said that. But Jesus knew that in her heart she had been touched by the kingdom and the grace of God. And she was learning to be generous. Later on, Jesus goes to Bethany. You know Bethany, where Martha and Mary, what was their brother's name? Lazarus. He'd been raised from the dead. Jesus pops in the last day before he was to live on earth. And Mary, she's a woman of different means. And she poured all this precious ointment on the feet of Jesus again. The disciples then say, hey, this could have been given to the poor. But she was lavish in her giving to the presence of God before her. Why? Because she'd seen God transform her family. She had seen God in Christ raising Lazarus from the dead, and it just touched a spirit of generosity in her heart. It may well be in the future in this church the biggest givers in the church aren't even saved yet. And it may be that God has done something quite remarkable in your life, whether it's a loved one saved, or you both come to know the Lord, or there's been an answer for healing. Express it in your giving back to God, your extravagance to the purpose of God. It's because I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. There's time and time where I've given an offering and the Holy Spirit said, give more. And he's not wheeled me out to speak about this today. Okay, I want you to know that. But this, when we listen to the Holy Spirit and we have fellowship with him, you'll find from time to time the Holy Spirit will be saying to you, I want you to do that for this person. Even on Friday, we've got an Italian in our, a wonderful Italian in our office. And I bought some, I went to this delicatessen near us, and I bought this amazing thing. It's like figs wrapped in fig leaves and put in an oven and cooked slowly. And you take it out and you put it on a cocktail stick with a bit of cheese. It's one of the most amazing foods I've ever tasted in my life. I can't believe it. So I kept going back to the tasting centre and I got told off because I was taking so many free tidbits. And I bought one and I came away. I got in the car and the Holy Spirit was waiting for me, because now I'm learning more to be open to him every moment of the day. And he said, yeah, I think that lady would like some of them, and her husband. And I thought, yeah, I'll do it. And I went back and bought another one. Now, for me, you see, because I'm not the most generous person, right? Okay. I'm having to learn how to do that. I'm not saying that to polish my halo. I'm saying, telling to you how much a miser I am, and God's having to deal with it. But what a joy that brings when the Holy Spirit tells you to bless somebody else. Isn't it wonderful? And it's more blessed to give than to receive.
church, you're on an adventure with the Holy Spirit. As you become more attuned to him, and he wants to you to be able to hear him speak, life gets fascinating, even to the point of praying for people. Yeah, you. God wants to have fellowship with you. And basically, that's all I've got to say. But that's all there needs to be said. If you think you've got fellowship with the Holy Spirit, great, have some more. Have some more, because I tell you what, he wants you to have more fellowship with him than you can dream or imagine. And when God said to through Paul to the Ephesian church, now to him who is able to do more exceedingly than we can think or imagine through the power that works within us. And as we implement this, it will be transformational in your church. Do you believe that, Rob? I know if I said anybody who wants a deeper fellowship with the Holy Spirit, please stand, and most probably everybody would stand, because clearly God is on you. But I want to pray for something before that. I want to pray that you, for a greater hunger for God until it's all consuming. And that's a cost. That really is a cost. And so therefore I'm going to ask, if you want to, God, give me more of you. Give me a greater hunger for you. Therefore, I'm asking you, will you stand? But you don't have to stand. But if you know you've got to have more of him, just more of him. Just more of him. It gets desperate. After a while, it gets desperate. Sometimes when you're praying in your devotions, you can hardly pray. You just got to say, God, I need more of you. I want to break through the mediocrity. I want to break through to, I want to be used more by you, Father. I want to know you more. I want to be available. I want to break through into greater kingdom power. I just want your kingdom to come, Lord. I don't have to get through that, but I'm telling you, Lord, I want to get through. I don't want to go through the motions of this, Lord. I just want you. I just want to learn about you, Holy Spirit, that I don't grieve you. Even without knowing, I've not grieved you. I don't want to quench your spirit without even knowing I'm not quenched your spirit. I don't want to put out your spirit's fire without even knowing. Oh, Lord, please help me. Help me, Lord, to walk with you at a new level of intimacy, that you would flow through me so uninterruptedly, Lord. There'd be no blockages, Lord, that would get in the way, Lord. I don't just want to have prayer time in the morning and be done with it till I go to bed at night, Lord. I want to walk with you. I want to learn the ways and nuances of your personality, what you like, Holy Spirit, that we may truly, truly be fit for the Master's use. The Apostle Paul talks about different vessels, one as gold and silver and one for wood and in a master's house. And he said, aim for more. And, you know, that's my heart. I want more. I want to be fit for the master's use, you know. I don't want to rest on what I've achieved or what I could have achieved. I want to just go. I think Paul said, I just count as all that as loss, that may know him. You know, there's a God to be known, God the Spirit to be known, that you may take the gospel of Jesus. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, I'm not even looking who's standing, Lord, but I pray that you would come upon these dear people, this precious church that's been carved out, Lord, here. And you would, by your Holy Spirit, breathe upon them a greater hunger, a greater thirst for you than they've known. It would, Lord, it would just take this church into the next realm of what you've got for them, Lord. Just, Lord, it's hard. Lord, I could say it's hard building your kingdom, Lord, but I pray there'd be a fresh dimension to walking that comes from just a hungering and thirst after this righteousness which we've talked about this morning. Lord, that this town and beyond may be reached right in the nooks and crannies, Lord, where the gospel's not yet gone. Holy Spirit, breathe upon these people afresh. Amen. Amen.